Good morning, friends. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, we want to answer the question, are you sure that you are saved? If I were to ask you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? What answer would you give? Some might honestly answer and say, no, I'm not saved. And to that person, I would say, let us get together and study God's Word and learn what to do to be saved. Don't stay in that condition. Another person might answer with great confidence and assurance, I am saved. I know that I'm right with God. I know that I'm going to heaven. But to that person, I would also ask a follow-up question. How do you know? How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're right with God and going to heaven? Upon what basis do you make that judgment? We all want to say in the affirmative, yes, I am saved. But it needs to be not just based upon what we think or feel, but based upon the Word of God. So let's answer the question this morning, are you saved? Or more pointedly, are you assured and confident that you are saved? In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 13, John writes, these things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know. There is confidence and assurance there. So we want to look at 1 John this morning in our study. You know, many are uncertain because there are conflicting voices in religion. Many people don't know if they are saved. They hear all kinds of different preachers. There's all kinds of different religions preaching different plans of salvation. Many of them are preaching contrary types of things. And so people just throw up their hands and say, I don't know. Others are uncertain if they are saved because of the feelings that they have, maybe of fear or doubt or worry. Or maybe they realize that they're just not sinlessly perfect. There's sin in their life. And so they're uncertain whether or not they're saved. God doesn't want us to live a life like that. God wants us to know. God wants us to be assured. God wants us to have confidence that we are right with Him. If you turn in your Bibles this morning, your New Testaments, to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, we know that God wants us to be fully assured and live a life of assurance. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. So God wants us to be fully assured. And 1 John is the New Testament book that speaks the most to certainty and assurance of salvation. The book of 1 John is a book of certainty and assurance. For example, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that if He shall be manifest, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. In chapter 3 and verse 19, John writes, hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before Him. We are fully persuaded. We are assured of what we have in Christ. In chapter 4 and verse 17, John writes, herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And so John writes, so that we might have boldness and assurance that we can be right with God. This morning I want us to consider, friends, three truths that are found in 1 John. 1 John gives us three important truths so that we can have assurance and confidence of salvation. We're not talking about pride or arrogance. We're not talking about being puffed up and acting like we're better than somebody else, but just simply assurance and confidence that we are right with God. Let's look at those three truths this morning. And it might test yourself. You might already be thinking, well, I know that I'm saved. Well, take the test, friend. Take the biblical test to make sure that we know we're saved. And it involves these three truths. Number one, assurance and confidence comes from what is written in God's Word, not what is felt in man's heart. What is written in God's Word, not what is felt in man's heart. Look at the scripture that we read at the beginning of our lesson this morning. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's in the writing that we might know that we have eternal life. We can go read the writing, and if our life matches up with what is written in the scripture, then we can know that we have eternal life. Assurance is based upon what is written in God's Word, not what we feel in our heart. We don't need to look at sin and salvation from the standpoint of what we think and what we feel. We need to look at the subject of sin and salvation from what it says in the Word of God. John wrote and recorded a message so that his readers may know that they are saved. We can go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, where John says, that which was from the beginning, talking about Jesus, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, that which we have beheld, that which we have handled concerning the word of life, and that life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you the life, the eternal life. And then he goes on to talk about, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Verse 4, and these things we write, that our joy may be full. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We have that understanding. And John writes that down. The word know is found 26 times in 1 John. That's why it's a book of assurance and confidence. We can know this. But the word write or written is also found 11 times in this small book. John, over and over talks about what he has written, what he has written. What he has written is the basis of what we know and can have that assurance. Do you know, we are human beings with emotions. We are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. And being made in the image of God, we have feelings, we have emotions, we can think and feel. However, emotion or feeling alone can be misleading. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. And we know from the story in the Old Testament of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings 5 verses 10 and 11 when the prophet told him to dip 7 times in the Jordan to be cleansed of his leprosy. He said, behold, I thought that something else would be done for me to be clean, not go dip in this muddy Jordan River. I thought we would do something else. Well, he was wrong. You see, feelings can be wrong. Feelings can be uncertain, but God's Word is never uncertain. Feelings can change. Feelings can be completely wrong. But God's Word is never wrong. God's Word is abiding forever. 1 Peter 1:25. Feelings can produce a false sense of confidence. It can produce something that is not accurate and not right. Do you remember when Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt and then they took a garment and dipped it in blood and brought it back to his father? And his father thought that his son was dead, but he wasn't dead, but he thought that. Genesis 37 and verse 34. He looked at the garment and saw the blood and he just assumed and he went on feelings and emotions. But God's Word is accurate. God's Word does not change. And we can have certainty of God and His Word. In 1 John 3 and verse 20, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We're going to go based upon what God's Word says. Do you know that feelings can produce a false sense of confidence where we know something? Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of those ways is death. We've got it all figured out. We say that we're fine when we really are not, and we're going down the wrong road. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Paul talks about how that he had lived before God in all good conscience. Well, he had a good conscience growing up, but his conscience had led him to do things that were wrong in persecuting the church before becoming a Christian. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he said, I verily thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. That's what he had thought. And so he took Christians and put them in prison. Our feelings can be misleading. The first thing that we learn from 1 John is that we know that we have eternal life, not based upon what we feel inside, but John says, what I have written unto you, you may know that you have eternal life. And so the Word of God, number one, assurance and confidence comes from what is written in God's Word, not from what we feel. So we can say, I know that I'm saved truly and correctly and rightly only when our life matches up with what the Scripture says to do to be saved. Not by what the pastor says and what the reverend says and what some church leader says, not what we feel in our heart. There's actually been people that have said something to the effect that I would not trade what I feel in my heart for a stack of Bibles. Well, friend, you're making a bad trade. You need those Bibles. You need God's Word. And we don't go by what we think and what we feel. It is God's Word that is our true guide in life. If you turn over to Psalm 119, that great psalm, the whole psalm is about the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, The truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is truth, Jesus? Well, in the same book, John 17, verse 17, Thy Word is truth. You see, we've got to turn to the Scripture. A second thing that we find in the book of 1 John, a second lesson, is that assurance and confidence comes from the Spirit's testimony within the Word, not from man's assurances. Man may tell us that we're saved. Man may tell us that we are okay. Man may have a plan of salvation that we have followed, but it's not in the Word of God. But we need to go by the Spirit's testimony. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Spirit's testimony, by the way, is in the Word of God. It's not just something, a small little voice that we hear or some vision that we have. God in Old Testament times revealed himself in those kinds of ways, dreams, visions. But in the New Testament through His Word. And so, look at 1 John 2:18, Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist cometh. Even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went that we might be made manifest that they are all not of us. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. John says, you have the anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So come on down now to verse 26. These things I have written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. And as for you, the anointing which you received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that anyone teach you, but as His anointing teacheth you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as you were taught, you abide in Him. The anointing is the teaching that is found by the apostles and written in Scripture. So, you have been anointed and you know all things, and the anointing, verse 27, is through the teaching, as His anointing teacheth you. So, what is taught in the Word of God? John warned about false prophets who were misleading others. He wanted his readers to test what was said in the Word of God with what these false teachers were saying. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he is in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. We follow the words of the Spirit in 1 John 4 and verse 13. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if you back up to verse 13, hereby we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He hath given us of His Spirit. And that Spirit gave them the words and the teaching that they needed. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who bear witness, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and the three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that He hath borne witness concerning His Son. So, we listen to what God says, and we follow the testimony of the Spirit as it is revealed in the Word of God. When we investigate the Word of God, and when we search the Word of God, we can begin to learn if we are saved or not. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul was preaching in Berea, they searched the Scriptures to see if what he was saying was true. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, they are to resist anything that is false and cleave to that which is true. Test all things. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. See, resist those things that are wrong and cleave to those things that are right. What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Spirit say concerning salvation? Well, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth, and when they preached on the subject of salvation, for example, in the book of Acts, they were preaching the words of the Spirit. Well, what did they say? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." You know you have remission of sins when you repent and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 8, Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch to confess that Jesus is the Christ and be baptized. And he did that very thing. Acts chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. Unless you have confessed that Jesus is the Christ and have been baptized, then you're not saved. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, when Paul was preaching to the Corinthians, it said that they heard his word, believed it, and were baptized. Until you have done that, you have not done what the Spirit says to do to be saved. Some say you're saved without baptism. That's not the Spirit's way. That's not what the Spirit told the apostles to tell others. Even Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Not "he that believeth shall be saved and then later can or cannot be baptized." That's not what he said. And so, we're going to let the Spirit testify to us. How do we do that? On the pages of the Scripture where the Spirit's words are recorded. That's what we're going to turn to if we want to truly know and have confidence that we are saved. So, number one, assurance and confidence comes from what is written in God's Word, not what we think and what we feel. That can mislead us. Number two, assurance and confidence that we're saved comes from the Spirit's testimony, not from man's assurances. And sometimes preachers will stand up and others will say, "You're saved if you have faith only," or "You're saved if you do this," or "You're saved if you do that," and it's not coming from the Scripture. We don't want man's assurances. We want the assurance of the Holy Spirit Himself, as His words mentioned those things in the Word of God. Remember, the apostles, when they preached and told people to repent and be baptized, confess and be baptized, hear and believe and be baptized, when they told them those things, they were being guided by the Holy Spirit to say those very things. In John chapter 16, verses 8 through 13, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all the truth. He brought to remembrance things in the past. He taught them things that would come in the future. And He guided them into all the truth. And the apostles stood up on the day of Pentecost and told the folks there to repent and be baptized. All throughout the book of Acts, There are several cases of conversion. There are about 9 cases of conversion recorded in the book of Acts, and they all end the same way, exactly the same way. They all end with the individual being baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. If we have not done that, we are not saved. We just simply need to follow the Bible plan of salvation. And then third and finally, when you look at 1 John, you find that he mentions one other thing, and that is that assurance and confidence comes from present walking in the light, presently living the faithful Christian life, not from past accomplishments, not by just living in the past. The New Testament does not teach once you're saved, you're always saved, and that is a predominant topic, even in this community. And maybe you've heard preachers, even on this radio station, say that once you're saved, you're always saved. The Scripture does not teach that. We can fall from grace, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. We can fall short of the grace of God, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 and 15. And so it is a possibility, and we need to be mindful of that. So assurance and confidence does not come from past accomplishments, but present walking in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, present tense, ongoing present tense, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And so we have to walk in the light. We have to live a faithful Christian life. The New Testament does not teach once saved, always saved. The New Testament teaches if we are living right. Do you know that the little word if is found several times in 1 John? It's a condition. It's a present condition if we are doing this in the present state. Look at chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Well, it's based upon walking in the light. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. Well, if we don't confess our sins, then we are not going to be forgiven. If we are not walking in the light, we are not going to have fellowship with him. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We have to keep following God's word. In chapter 2 and verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. We want to have fellowship with the Son and the Father, but it's conditioned upon if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you. In other words, the Word, the Gospel that we believed and obeyed at the beginning of our Christian life, it has to remain in us. We can't let that go. We have to keep living by that. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us. Well, if we don't love one another, God does not abide in us. And so it's conditioned upon if. Christians need to live a life apart from sin, not to make a habit of daily sinning. And look at chapter 2 and verse 1. I write unto you that you may not sin. We're not supposed to get up each day and just assume that we're going to live in sin, or that we're just always weak in sinning and that type of thing. We need to live without that. In chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, the way that we know that we are not of the devil is if we live a life where we are not sinning. And the tense of the verb there is continual sinning, going on sinning. That's not the child of God. And so we're going to be careful about that. In chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is begotten of God sinneth not, but he that was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Sinneth not there means a continual habit of sin. We're not talking about an occasional sin here or there. And a Christian may slip up and do that. And if we do, John says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. If we confess our sins, John is talking about Christians. And so if we slip up and commit a sin, we can confess that. And then we can pray for forgiveness in chapter 5 and verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And that would certainly include praying for forgiveness of sins. And we have to return to doing God's commandments. In chapter 2 and verse 3, we read this earlier. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And so we get back to following the commandments of God. Chapter 3, verse 22, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are in his sight. Friends, we need to be assured that we are saved. Not just a feeling, not just what somebody else tells us, but what is written in the Word of God. Have you heard the Word of God? Or do you need to study it and learn it more? Let's get together. Please contact me and we'll have a Bible study. Have you repented of your sins, turned your back on that? Have you confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Have you had your sins washed away in baptism? Acts 22 and verse 16. These are the things that if we do these things, we are certain and have been assured that we have eternal life. And then we go on walking in the light and living that Christian life. We need to remember something, friends, and that is God is not out to get us. He's not out to see how poorly we can do. He is there to help us. He's not against us. He is for us. He does not want us to fail and be defeated. He wants us to succeed and be victorious. He does not want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. He does not want us to be in doubt. He wants us to have confidence and assurance. James tells us that if a person has doubt, he's just unstable. If any man... He says in James chapter 1 and verse 6, he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't be wondering and doubtful and uncertain about whether or not we are saved. We need to have that confidence and that assurance. It comes from the written Word of God. It comes from the Spirit's testimony that is found in the Word of God, not our feelings or man's assurances. And it comes from presently living the faithful Christian life, not saying, well, I was right sometime in the past, and I know I'm not living right now, but once you're saved, you're always saved. No, John says it comes from present walking in the light and living right. And if we can assist you in being certain and confident of your salvation through a study of God's Word, please contact us. Please continue listening to this program. Please contact us and let us study God's Word together. Thank you for listening this morning and have a good day.